I speak to you in the name of God who brings life from death. Amen. We have put off death for an entire season, but today we stand at the mouth of the grave. We have listened to the stories of temptation, new birth, thirst, and sight. We have prayed for those among us who are moving closer to their Easter bath in baptism, and we have put off death for an entire season. But today we face death, and it smells bad. Recently, I went to a funeral home to say a sad hello to a good friend who had just lost the joy of her life. She kept touching him and saying, "You're my precious, my beautiful man." Even in the antiseptic air and muted light of a modern funeral home, death smells bad. And we put it off, do anything to put it off. But the church has now pulled us back to the mouth of the grave, where we stand with Mary and Martha and their friends and their best friend, Jesus. If Jesus pulls this off, it will be the next to last sign of glory in the Gospel of John. Already he has provided wine at the marriage feast. He has fed the crowds with a few loaves of bread. He has healed a man born blind. Now he stands at the mouth of the grave of Lazarus. Jesus seems tired. Jesus seems determined. If he has a premonition of further glory in Jerusalem, he is not deterred. It is almost as if even Jesus has put off death until the end of his ministry, needing to deal with everything else first. But now even Jesus stands at the mouth of the grave, and his friend lies deep in the earth, resting in the peace of death. In the words of Rainer Maria Rilke, the German poet, Jesus has come to execute the illicit act on nature's peacefulness. There's a long tradition of imagination and commentary that speaks about the raising of Lazarus as a violation of the right order of life and death. William Butler Yeats imagined Jesus responding to Lazarus, responding to Jesus, not with gratitude, but with great anger. "I thought to die when my allotted years ran out again, and that being gone you could not hinder it. But now you will blind with light the solitude that death has made. You will disturb that corner where I had thought I might be safe forever." Did you ever think that bringing forth life from death might be resented, that it might be a mistake? Recently I watched the DVD of The Last Temptation of Christ. Based on the novel by Nikos Kazantzakis, this movie contains startling visual images that I cannot erase. The sweaty and crowded temple precincts, where money changers were so tight together they could hardly be upended. The Last Supper, around a low table, with not only the 12 disciples present, but Mary and Martha, and Mary Magdalene, and Jesus' mother Mary present. But the scene I most cannot forget in this movie is the raising of Lazarus. It was filmed from within the tomb. So we look out through the grave opening at the worried, anxious, and contorted face of Jesus. We watch as Jesus summons the power and utters the command. More than once he commands, "Lazarus, come out." For a long moment, nothing happens. Nobody gets up and walks out. Then a deathly hand suddenly appears on the screen. But I tell you, I know it sounds a little bit like Halloween 3, but it is startling in the film. And then Jesus reaches in and grabs the hand, but the hand grabs Jesus' hand. And for a breath-stopping moment, we don't know if Jesus will be pulled into the grave or Lazarus pulled out. See the movie if you haven't. It is worth it just for this scene. And even now, remembering that extraordinary visual struggle, I understand how precarious it is to try to execute the illicit act on nature's peacefulness. Temptation, I recognize, I also have dreams in the night, like Nicodemus. I've been thirsty, and I have blinked hard to see the world around me. But maybe we should let the dead be at peace. Many people who report near-death experiences describe feeling angry that they were brought back. Even when they acknowledge feeling some purpose in their continued living, they never quite forget their frustration at being dragged away from the light. Now Lazarus was dead. He was not near death. He had been dead for 4 days. There could be no mistake. Jesus even delayed his journey to Bethany for some reason, perhaps to let Lazarus be dead. But as we pass through this last Sunday in Lent and edge even closer to the week of hosannas, betrayal, foot washing, pain and joy, I can't help remembering how close Jesus came to being pulled in. I can't help noticing how hard it is to pull life from death. And I suspect that our own baptismal dying and rising carries us into a daily struggle at the mouth of the grave. Many of the most powerful addiction counselors are former addicts. It must be like fighting a sepulchral undertow to walk daily into the mouth of the grave to work with addicts not yet among the living. As the Hungarian poet Agnes Némes Nagy describes the scene, he sat up slowly, and around his left side, all his long life's muscles ached. His death was torn from him like caked gauze. Rising was as hard as having died. Isn't it interesting that nobody asked Lazarus if he wished to return to the land of the living? Nicodemus sought out Jesus, inquiring about new birth. The woman at the well asked for the living water. The blind man longed to see. But Lazarus is dead, and the dead don't speak. At the mouth of the grave, the privilege of asking is muffled by burial clothes, and the peacefulness of nature is less potent than the peace of God. And the peace of God cannot fill the world until the grave is opened and the dead man is pulled into the light. In case you haven't been with us before, in 2 weeks, we will hear this story again. Not exactly this story, just one like it. We won't hear the command. We won't see the commander. We won't witness the struggle at the mouth of the grave. But another dead man will rise to life. And this illicit act on nature's peacefulness will have changed the world forever. Amen.